Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. Our listener support campaign continues. You can support the show on an ongoing basis as one of our Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. You can also become one of our one-time supporters. Just send in a one-time donation to support.greatdetectives.net. You can also use the Zelle app and send it to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net or mail in a donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. And I want to appreciate any support sent in during the listener support campaign. Any donation of $20 or more will receive one of my ebooks. You can get one of my novels like Tales of the Dim Night or Slime Incorporated, or you can pick up What Made the Golden Age Shine or All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo. And that's with a donation of $20 or more. For a donation of $25 or more, we'll happily send you a great colonial radio theater audio drama. Among them is Zorro and the Pirate Raiders, and Zorro Rides Again, very well-produced audio dramas from Colonial Radio Theater. At the $100 level, we'll gladly send you one of the Who is Johnny Dollar Matter. This is a great resource written by John C. Abbott in three volumes, and so for a donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a choice of Volume 1, which is the pre-Bob Bailey episodes, Volume 2, which is the Bob Bailey episodes, or Volume 3, which is the post-Bob Bailey episodes. Or we can send you all three with a donation of $250 or more. Or you can also send in a donation of $50, and we'll send you a digital version, a Kindle version, with $125 for all three volumes. A full list of available thank you gifts is at support.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. We're at last into 1962, and we'll have a very important announcement after the program about Johnny Dollar. The original air date is January 7th, 1962, and it's the Hot Chocolate Matter.
Johnny Dollar.
This is Harvey Weller at Tri-Eastern Indemnity Associates here in New York.
I think I know what you're calling about, Mr. Weller.
You do?
Little matter of $100,000 in diamonds that disappeared from MacBilby's jewelry outfit down your way.
Yes.
Just got the word over the radio.
Well, tell me, are you free to work on it?
Have you thought of what my commission on that stuff will be if I manage to recover it for you?
No, I hadn't, but now let me see.
All right, you figure it out while I grab a plane.
CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Tri-Eastern Indemnity Associates, New York City office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Hot Chocolate Matter. Expense account item 1, 1645, taxi to Bradley Field and a plane to New York's Idlewild. Item 2, 520 for a cab to MacDilby's House of Jewels on Madison near 57. A sign on the door said closed, so I walked in and joined a sad-faced mob of clerks and cops.
Now, just a minute, mister. Didn't you see that sign? Johnny!
Hi, Randy. I might have known the indomitable Lieutenant Randolph Singer would be in charge.
Yeah, here I am. But how'd you find out about it so soon? It only happened 2-3 hours ago.
Ah, never underestimate the power of radio, Randy. Now, what's the plot?
Well, Johnny...
Here it is, Lieutenant Singer.
Huh? Oh, right, Mr. McDilby. Thanks.
And if we find anything else missing that is not on that list...
Yeah, you be sure and let me know.
I certainly shall.
Here, meet Johnny Dollar. He's a special investigator.
Mr. Dollar, I am very glad to see you, sir.
How are you? Yeah, Johnny's a special investigator for the insurance.
Ah, yes, yes. I know all about him. Lieutenant, Mr. Dollar, you can count on me as a great admirer of both you personally and the fine work that you do.
Well, I thank you, Mr. McGilby.
Now, perhaps we'll be able to get to the bottom of this.
Now, if that's supposed to mean you didn't expect us to get to the bottom of it, McGilby...
You heard the man, Randy.
No, of course not, Lieutenant. But I am glad that Mr. Dollar is here to work with you.
Oh, sure. He'll be a lot of help.
If you don't get in my way.
If I don't...
Now, at about how much do you figure the total loss, Mr. McDilby?
Foosh, I'm afraid it's close to $104,218 and 51 cents, approximately.
Approximately?
Yeah, that's what it comes to on this list.
Tell me, were there any witnesses to the robbery?
Have you had any word on poor Mr. McDuggan, Lieutenant?
Yeah, I checked with Bellevue Hospital just before Johnny got here.
And?
Well, they doubt very much if the old man will pull through.
Ah, terrible, terrible. My heart is filled with grief to hear that.
Who is McDuggan, Randy? The old night watchman. Whoever did this job came in just before opening time, tore him up with a .38, and then just helped himself.
Aye, to approximately $104,200.
Yes, you told me.
Aye.
How did he get in, Randy? I mean, after all, if there was a night watchman on duty...
Aye, and a good one. McDuggan was not only a personal friend, but an old and very, very faithful employee.
Well, there was no sign of tools on the doors or windows, Johnny, and the burglar alarm was still on, so either he somehow got hold of a key or McDuggan let him in.
Somebody that McDuggan knew, then.
Possibility, all right. But now it looks like he'll never be able to tell us.
Terrible.
Now, who came in here and found out what had happened? You, Mr. McGilby?
No, sir. It was Miss Tavish, my chief clerk, who always opens up the store. Would you like to have a word with her?
Later, maybe. These people here, are they all your employees?
Yes, sir. Only one that's missing is Daniel Fairling, cleaning boy.
Oh,
don't worry, Johnny. I've already ordered a rundown on all of them and put out an APB on young Fairling.
Well, you're improving, Randy.
Well, thanks, pal.
Now, does anybody beside you know the combination of the safe, Miss McGilby?
No, sir. But the safe wasn't touched.
Do you mean that you left over $100,000 worth of stuff lying around out here in the showroom?
Ordinarily, no, sir. But we closed up so late last night after a special sale we were having. And with McDuggan on the job...
McDuggan's in Bellevue.
Right, but now listen, Johnny.
I'll see you later. Item 3, a dollar even for a cab to Bellevue Hospital. As I stepped off the elevator at the fourth floor and sounded toward the door of McDuggan's room, a familiar young policeman was trying to hail a pretty young nurse at the other end of the corridor who misunderstood his intentions and was pointedly ignoring him.
No, listen, baby, I'm not trying to make a pass on it.
I'm busy, Buster.
Dollar. Listen, am I glad to see you?
Hi, Rogan, what's the trouble?
Listen, the doc just left and he says McDuggan's got himself conscious again.
Oh?
Yeah, only for a little while, see, though. Well, a couple of minutes, maybe. No big curtains for him. Just about gone.
Have you notified Lieutenant Singer?
Oh, no. He gave me orders to stay right here. When I tried to call that nurse, she thought, she thought that maybe,
Sure. Look, Rogan, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Yeah?
You go down to the first floor to the main desk. Just telephone there. I'll keep an eye on this room while you call the lieutenant and tell him to get over here.
Yeah, good. There ain't any phones on this floor?
Well, the stairway's over there at the far end of the corridor. You won't have to wait for an elevator.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Dollar. Thanks a lot.
Now, let's see. Mr. McDuggan? Mr. McDuggan, can you hear me?
Ask.
Yes?
Ask.
Ask somebody something? Who?
Ask. Fairling.
Fairling?
Dan. Danny Fairling.
He did this to me.
Ask Danny.
Mr. McDuggan. Nurse, get a doctor in here quickly.
This ever happened to you? You're driving down a long highway or working late, and then monotony makes you feel drowsy. Perk up with No-Dose, No-Doze keeps you alert with the same safe refresher found in coffee. Yet No-Doze is faster, handier, more reliable. Absolutely not habit-forming. The safe way to stay alert without harmful sounding. No-Doze.
This time, I tore on down the stairs to get to one of the phone booths I'd noticed on my way in. But as I reached the second floor landing...
Oh, why don't you watch? Oh, Dollar.
Listen, Rogan, did you get Randy Singer?
Yeah. Lieutenant's coming right over, but, hey, you left old man McDougan alone?
You get on back to him and hope he lives until Randy gets here.
Yes, sir.
In the phone book, I found only one Daniel Fairling listed. Item 4, another dollar for another cab to a shoddy apartment building in a section the other side of the Williamsburg Bridge, not too far from the dock that lined that side of the East River. The push button beside the name Fairling in the outer lobby didn't work. Then I found that the front door was open. I went in, up a rickety stairway, to start looking for apartment 3B. Yeah, let's see now. Here we are. Danny, open up. Danny Fairling?
Hey, what's the racket? What's all the noise? What's the matter with you?
I'm looking for Mr. Daniel Fairling.
Well, you won't find him here.
What?
Only his missus. He moved out.
Oh, to where?
Only it looks like they're going to patch things up again like they always do, and then he'll be back.
What do you mean?
Some fancy delivery boy was here a while ago, delivering a box of fancy chocolates to her. That's what I mean. So, if you ask me,
I... You know where I can find him?
Well, he works to one of them fancy jewelry stores up on Madison Avenue. But why don't you ask her?
Well, I did, but there's no answer.
Well, I didn't see her go out, so knock some more.
Well, I'll try, but I don't know if... What was that?
What was it?
Inside the apartment. Do you have a key?
No, sir. And the landlady, she's out. What was that?
I don't know. While I break in the door, get to a phone, will you, and call the police?
You're going to break down the door?
Yes, go on. Will you please?
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay,
let's go. It wasn't pretty. The bomb had been inside the box of candy. It had gone off and the Fairling woman had opened it, plastering wall, ceiling, and floor with bits of chocolate. As for Mrs. Fairling, young or old, beautiful or homely, nobody can tell now.
Okay. I called the cops, mister, and they're coming right over.
All right, good. Will you stay here until they arrive?
Yeah, but did you find out what the... Oh! Oh, no. Oh. She was such a... pretty one, too.
Item 5, 10 cents for a phone call to Lieutenant Singer's office at the 18th precinct.
Yeah, Johnny, I got there just in time to watch old McDougan die, and without saying a word. So, what about you? Did you have any luck when you saw him?
He was able to say only one thing to me, Randy.
Yeah? What was it?
The name of that cleaning man that McDilby mentioned to us this morning.
The one that's missing? Danny Fairling?
Uh-huh. But all he said about him was...
Well, then we're in luck. We're really in luck.
Why do you say that?
You hop in a cab and get on over here.
Look, Randy...
You'll see, Johnny. You'll see. Now come on over here and as fast as you can.
Item 6, $1.90 for a cab to the 18th Precinct headquarters.
Well, I've always told you we don't waste any time around here, Johnny. First rundown we made was on that Fairling.
Mm-hmm.
When we found that Danny boy had a record.
A record?
As long as your arm. So, Natch, we put out the word on him. And you know when the boys downtown picked him up?
When, Randy?
About the same time you and I were talking there in McDilby's shop.
Oh, well, where'd they find him?
Oh, some little Roman house way downtown.
They didn't try his apartment?
Well, sure, but his wife said he and she were on the outs and told them where to find him.
And if they hadn't left, they might have saved their lives.
What?
A box of candy blew up in her face, Randy, when she opened it.
Oh.
Don't worry about it, though. It's out of your belly, will you?
Oh, now, just a minute, Johnny.
Come on, I want to talk to this Danny.
But listen, do the police in that precinct know about his wife?
Yes, they know. There's nothing you can do about it from here.
We'll see. Well, in here, Johnny.
All right.
Open up, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Well, here's our boy.
You're talking about me, Fletch, and I demand to know why you're holding me. What kind of grounds have you got?
Fairling, I demand to know what you did with all those goodies you took from your boss's jewelry store, and the quicker you start talking, the better for you.
That's a fact.
Yeah?
Now, who are you? My name is Johnny Dollar.
Oh, Johnny Dollar, huh? The big insurance eye. Well, if you think I made that heist, you're just as dumb as the cops. I'd like to see them prove it. I'd like to see them prove anything on me. Now, when are you going to let me out of this stinking place?
It'll take the best lawyer in town to get you out of here, Colonel.
Now, don't you worry. Don't you worry about that. When the time comes, I'll have a lawyer. I'll have a lawyer that'll make a monkey out of you guys. Can't prove a thing on me.
If you didn't pull the heist, Danny.
Oh, now, Johnny.
How come you didn't show up at the store this morning?
Because I was late getting there. And when I saw the mob and heard what happened, well, do you think I was going to hang around and beg for a pinch? Me? With my record?
Did McDobey know about your record when he hired you?
You mean I should go around blabbing about it? Oh, you're real cute, Dollar.
Danny.
Now, look. I'm fed up to here with you guys. Why don't you leave me alone, huh? Or else let me out of here.
Bring the bit about his wife out of Johnny now, don't you, Randy?
What? What'd you guys say?
Danny, if you didn't pull that job, do you have any idea about who might have?
Sure, like maybe everybody who works in that joint.
You know anything?
No. Well, that's all now. You're all through with me.
There's a standard offer that I'm authorized to make. If you can and will furnish information that will lead to the arrest and conviction of the guilty party and recovery of the merchandise, the insurance company will give you the best legal assistance possible.
Now, isn't that sweet of them?
All right, Randy, let's go. That's the picture, Randy.
Okay, Johnny, but the boys from that precinct are going to want to be asking him a lot of questions about it.
Well, just don't let them know that you have him yet. Not until I have time to check this a little bit more.
Yeah? Why?
Because if Danny is guilty of that robbery...
And the murder.
Of the robbery, maybe the shock of finding out about his wife will open him up if it's used at the right time.
Which is when?
Let me worry about that, Randy. Meantime, we'll be finding out if your boys have uncovered anything new back at the shop.
Johnny.
Yep.
Are you holding back something on me?
Like what?
Like what maybe old man McDuggan said to you there at Bellevue?
All he said was, ask Danny. Ask Danny Fairling.
And to me, that says we're holding the right man.
Well, I wouldn't bank on it, Randy.
You have a better idea, Johnny? For both the robbery and the murder?
Yes, I have an idea. And I don't like it.
Finished and rechecked, Mr. Dollar, and my loss is just exactly as I stated to you previously. Is it permissible to open up no for what little is left of the day's business?
Well, I don't see why not.
Let's wait a little, Randy. A couple of things I'd like to check on.
Oh, now, Johnny, you know that my boys have covered everything.
Do you have any notions, Mr. Dollar?
Well, we sure have. That cleaning boy of yours, Danny Fairley.
Young Danny? Do you think like this?
Young Danny.
Oh, push, no, I can't believe it.
And that ain't all he did.
Oh, but he couldn't have. And yet, perhaps.
What do you mean, perhaps? That crook and killer now has a record a mile long.
Aye. Then perhaps it was Danny. But can you prove it against him?
It might be a little harder to prove than the lieutenant thinks. You mind if I look around a little?
Oh, I'll be glad to show you anything and everything.
Well, there's no point in taking your time if... You're getting ready to open up again?
No, no, he's perfectly all right.
Miss, perhaps you can help me.
Yes, sir.
Miss Tavish, this is Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Dollar?
You'll be kind enough to show him anything that he likes?
That'll be a pleasure, Mr. Dollar.
All right. Now let's get to work. I was sure that Randy's men had done a good job, but I had to follow through on this idea that was bugging me. And that meant looking for something. Anything to back it up. And then I found it. In a small cleaning closet in the back. How did this box of chocolates get in here?
Oh, well, you know, chocolates were young Danny's weakness, Mr. Dollar.
They were?
He simply loved to nibble on chocolate candies all day long.
I see.
And so whenever he'd do an errand or a special favor for one of us, we'd buy him a box of them. Those French ones are his favorite. The sort he couldn't really afford.
Any address on this box? Yeah. All right, Miss Tavish. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
You've been more help than you may realize.
Well, why not anything, Johnny?
Plenty. I'll see you later.
Hmm? Where are you going?
To a candy shop over on Fifth Avenue.
Candy shop?
Mm-hmm. Then, with your permission, Randy, I want to see Danny Fairling again.
Well, sure.
Alone.
Mais oui, monsieur. We did deliver a box of our excellent chocolates to that address this morning.
Just chocolate, hmm?
I remember it well, monsieur.
Now tell me.
Because the gentleman who made the purchase last evening took them with him, but then came back later and asked that we deliver them today.
How much later?
Perhaps an hour.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of time to open the box, take out some of the candy. Tell me this. That customer, was he a small, tough-looking young fellow?
Oh, no, monsieur. He was a well-dressed English or a Scottish gentleman.
Thank you, my friend. You've just helped me solve a murder.
Murder?
Or I should say two. Okay, Danny. You can say you don't know all you like. But I'm convinced that McDilby himself killed McDuggan and pulled that robbery.
Oh, you are, huh?
Yes, I thought of that as a possibility the minute I learned the place hadn't been broken into, that it had to be somebody McDuggan knew and knew well and let in there.
And just how are you going to prove that?
I'm also sure that you were part of the plan.
Ah, you're not.
That instead of getting there late, you got to that shop early this morning. That you saw McDilby, saw what he did. Because you knew what he was up to, you were there to give yourself a handle for some blackmail if he didn't come through for you. Because he told you to stay away this morning, to stay at home. That would put you on the spot, Danny, wouldn't it? Because of your record, and immediately remove any suspicion from him. Am I right, Danny? All right. Don't say it, not yet. But that was the deal, wasn't it?
Neither you nor anybody else have got a thing on me.
I know. I know there's no direct evidence against you, Danny, any more than there is against McDilby. That's the reason he promised that if you play along with him, he'd not only give you a cut of the loot, but make sure that you had legal help that would keep you out of the pen. Isn't that what he promised you, Danny? Come on, you can't deny that, can you? Do you think for a minute he was going to keep any such promise? When you, an ex-con, made such an easy whipping boy when nobody cared what happened to you? No, Danny. McDilby had other plans for you so that you'd end up like McDuggan did on a slab. You haven't thought of that, had you?
No. You're crazy, Charlie. You're crazy.
Am I? Well, what about your wife, Danny?
What do you mean about my wife, huh? What do you mean about her? What's a little family argument got to do with this?
Maybe a lot.
So what if maybe I did walk out in Pearl for a couple of days? It isn't the first time I did that, but I was going back to her, like I always do. Because I love her, you see. So what about her, huh? Now, why are you bringing her into this?
You like chocolate, don't you, Danny?
Yeah, sure I do. So what?
Especially the French kind.
Okay, so what?
And McDilby didn't know that you'd moved out on your wife.
So why should he? Him or anybody else?
So he thought that you would be there at the apartment this morning, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe so. But so what? What's that got to do with Pearl? Now look, start making sense,
Dollar. That's the reason he sent the box of chocolates there.
Huh?
The box, Danny.
All right, so that makes him a crook and me an accessory?
Danny, the box had a bomb in it.
What? A bomb?
Yes. It killed her.
Pearl.
Sorry, Danny.
You listen to me. If the law doesn't kill him for it, Dollar, I will.
Don't worry, the law will take care of McGilby. And Danny, his term will be a short one because of his testimony. And my testimony. Expense account total, including the ride back to Hartford, $49.35. And don't forget the commission. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, high adventure in a colorful romantic gold rush country that can also be very deadly. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Do you like a car with plenty of pep? A car with reserve power for safe passing? Most good drivers do. But they don't like to pay extra for premium gasoline. Listen, in 3 out of 5 cars, regular priced Sinclair Dino gasoline matches performance of premium gasoline, saves you up to 4 cents a gallon. Almost anywhere you see the Sinclair Dinosaur sign, you can save up to 4 cents a gallon with Dino. Drive with care and buy Sinclair Dino gasoline. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Fred Hendrickson. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Jackson Beck, Sam Gray, Gil Mack, Bill Lipton, Guy Rep, Betty Gard, Ivor Francis, and Vicky Bola. Music supervision by Eugene Sine. Sound patterns by Walter Otto. Technical supervision, Mike Shostak. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Art Hanna speaking. Keep in instant touch with world events through this NetAlert station of the CBS Radio Network.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Some interesting strategy by Johnny to really bring the confession home in order to get him to implicate the stereotypical Scottish businessmen. All right, well, we have a couple big announcements about yours truly, Johnny Dollar. First of all, since we are in 1962, that actually puts us on the verge of the end of the original run of Johnny Dollar. The series last episode aired September the 30th of 1962. So that will happen during season 10, and we will follow Johnny Dollar with more Johnny Dollar. Yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll actually restart this series from the beginning, which is not something we've done with other series, but there are reasons that I'm going to do that with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. The big one is just the massive number of episodes. It has taken us, or will have taken us by the time we get through with this, 9.5 years to cover all of Johnny Dollar. And so I feel comfortable, you know, restarting. It's not like we're, you know, doing Nightbeat, which was about just 1.5 years. It's 9.5 years. And, you know, for me, I think, you know, even though I've heard those episodes before, it's been a long time, so I'm eager to, you know, re-listen to those. I also, just from a show growth perspective, know that Johnny Dollar is the series that people listen to on this podcast more than anything, and it draws people to listen to the podcast. So not having a Johnny Dollar episode being posted every week, I think would not be good for the podcast as a whole. And there again, you have something I've referenced before, where we don't have an infinite number of series. So continuing to have Johnny Dollar on Friday just makes a lot of sense. Now for my other Johnny Dollar related announcement. Next year is the 70th anniversary of the first Johnny Dollar broadcast. And we will actually have a suspension of our typical cycle of programs to bring you a yours truly Johnny Dollar week. And we'll start on Monday with an episode of yours truly Johnny Dollar with Charles Russell. And then we'll do one with Edmund O'Brien on Tuesday and go through the entire lineup. So you'll get a different interpretation of Johnny Dollar each day. I welcome your suggestions for some of these Johnny Dollars as to what episodes will do. I very strongly, with Charles Russell, lean towards just doing the first episode of the series as a whole. And I have a pretty strong idea about what I want to do for Edmund O'Brien. And there are a lot of interesting options in the Bob Bailey run. But if you have any particular ideas for an episode you think, yeah, this is emblematic of that Johnny Dollar and it's one of my favorites, I would love to hear, and I'll take anything under consideration. You can send it into box13@greatdetectives.net. Now, as this is the 70th anniversary of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, I am giving a call out. And if you have any art, any music, any short story that you would like to write or share, send me a note to box13@greatdetectives.net. Now, this is not a contest or something where there'll be any payment sent. It's just an opportunity. If you'd like to celebrate 70 years of Johnny Dollar coming this February, I'd be happy to take a look and see about sharing some of this. Now, if you are going to, you know, write something complicated, do send an email, you know, just to see if it's something that I would really, you know, be interested in using, because I don't want anybody to take a lot of time for something that wouldn't really work. And we would probably end up sharing most of the stuff on the website as opposed to the podcast, unless it was a particularly good short piece of music. So send it in to me and I'll see if it will fit with what we want to do on the website. All right, well, now on to listener comments and feedback. And we start with email from Chaplain Tom, who writes, "I want to thank you again for your devotions to the Great Detectives podcast. I'm recovering from my fifth back surgery and spent many nights lying awake in bed. With my earbuds in my ear, I reminisce listening to your podcast like the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, The Amazing World of Radio, Let George Do It, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and Video Theater, just to name a few. Listening to these shows not only entertain me, they help me through my recovery time. God bless." Well, thank you so much, Chaplain Tom. I really appreciate that, and sorry for what you're going through. I know that back surgery and back pain can be difficult, something my father dealt with, and I'm starting to get into the back pain and want to avoid the surgery if at all possible. So I really feel you there, and I hope that you get better soon. And finally, we have a comment from Amy regarding one of the podcast I did for my mother's 70th birthday. And I did all programs that were from the day of her birth. And one of them was an episode of Mr. President. And Amy writes, "I love the Mr. President series, and I'm also disappointed in the tags on each episode. The way I get around it is downloading them and putting them into a playlist on Shuffle. One thing I did want to mention, as per your history lesson after the episode was finished, is that Mr. President always tried to look at things in a neutral manner as opposed to a wider view of consequences or a political view of the left or right or party. So in that regards, it is understandable they didn't go into what the compromise led to. They always try to show each president in a good light, even the ones that may have been less than honest or maybe even detrimental to the country. Case in point would be Woodrow Wilson's lying to the country about getting into World War I, and then right after his presidency did. I don't know if you listened to that episode, but it was definitely an interesting way of telling that story. Overall, Mr. President is a hidden gem among old-time radio, relatively unknown even for many old-time radio lovers. I love how this was scheduled on Sunday afternoon so that families could listen all together and share their knowledge of these history stories, whether it's the children talking about what they've learned in history class or the parents being able to relate stories that perhaps even their parents have related to them. I also love how it's performed with a live audience, and sometimes you can hear the laughter or gasp when the president is revealed." Well, Amy, thank you so much. I've only listened to two or three episodes of the series, but from what I've heard, it looks like, or I should say sounds like, a really good series like you described. And, you know, I have some knowledge of history, so it's hard for me to, you know, to not just go and say, well, actually, this is how it turned out. But I think particularly from the way you described it, is a really generous way to look at things and to approach the historical subjects so that you can learn from them and maybe gather a little bit from their lives. Because even the more troublesome presidents had reason for what they did. But I appreciate your description for and love of this gem of a series, and it is available online, and I do occasionally share an episode on an app if it features one of our detective actors in it. So, it's definitely worth a listen. Thanks so much for your lovely description of that series, Amy, and I appreciate your comments. All right, that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Dragnet. And we'll be back next Tuesday with Security Agent USA, and then next Friday with another episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Remember, you can support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, support.greatdetectives.net. If you send in a donation of $50 or more and you're in the U.S. or Canada, we will happily send you one of several great movies, including Casablanca. And a donation of $100 or more will send you a Great Detectives of Old Time Radio t-shirts. A full list of available items is at support.greatdetectives.net. But that's all for now. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.